Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, welcome once again on this very cold morning to worship our Lord. To get us started this morning, I thought we would play a game. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to make you get up, I'm not going to make you jump around or run around. I'm not Pastor Adam. We're just going to stay right where we're at. Love you, brother. So what we're going to do is a word association game. I'm going to say a word, and then you have to couple that with another word that fits well with it, all right? It's really simple. So here we go. We'll start with this. Salt and? All right. Shoes and? Do you ever wear sandals with socks? No. No. I guess when it's this cold outside, if you got to wear sandals, you got to wear socks. All right, here's one. This one's maybe a little more controversial. Coffee and creamer. How many of you guys take your coffee black? Like it's strong. Who just uses coffee to drink creamer? Yes, that's right. Okay, here's an easy one. Bread and? All right, and one more. Wine and? I'm so glad you didn't say children. I heard you say, ooh, maybe you did. At all the other services, I said that, everybody laughed. Here, you're like, no, that's what I said. Wine and children, those two things naturally go together, right? You guys did great. So we are in the season of the church called Epiphany, and that word basically just means to manifest, to reveal something, to go from having no knowledge of it to having or possessing that knowledge. And as we're walking through the season of Epiphany, we're looking at the early parts of Jesus' life and the early, like, first steps of his ministry. And as we do that, we're looking at what is it that is being revealed to us about Jesus, his work, and the person that he is. So I want to go back to our game just one more time, and I want you to think about this. So we said salt and pepper goes together. We said shoes and socks go together. Bread and butter go together. All things that naturally fit. But what happens when we, like, change it up? We switch it up. What happens when we put things together that, well, maybe don't go so well? Such as ice cream and bacon. I see people nodding. You're like, bacon makes everything better, right? Whew, try this one. Cheese and mayonnaise. Oh, I don't like mayo to begin with. All right, try this one. Hot dogs and ranch dressing. I just heard a yeah. Ah, woof. How about this one? Strawberries and mustard. Okay, just a moment of confession. I got permission to share this. Within my family, not me, within my family, hot dogs and ranch and strawberries and mustard are things that people eat. All right, last one, things that don't go well together, Mexican food and tight jeans, right? Things that don't go well together. As you think about that, hot dogs and ranch, strawberries and mustard, Mexican food and jeans, just hearing that kind of makes it a little uncomfortable because the reality is there's a tension between those two because they don't quite fit. So let's try one last pairing. Jesus and, yeah, Jesus and God, God. I heard Jesus and disciples. You can say Jesus and righteousness, Jesus and salvation, Jesus and the cross, Jesus or and Mary or Joseph, right? You can put a lot of things in there. But let me throw this one out to you. Jesus and sinners. Depending on your perspective, maybe these two things, Jesus and sinners, could be an odd pairing. Somewhat like strawberries and mustard. Something sweet, something sour. But in fact, the odd pairing of this is what we see unfolding in our gospel reading this morning from Mark chapter 1. The reading that we have for us opens up with John going out into the wilderness to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he's preaching and he's teaching, but he's also baptizing. And the crowds are coming out. Throngs of people are arriving there on the banks of the Jordan, and they come to confess their sins and to receive a baptism of repentance, to show that they are repentant and seeking forgiveness for their sins. And as people are coming and they're receiving this baptism, John is teaching. And he's teaching them this, that there is one who is going to come who is so much greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to get down and untie his sandals. I can't even touch his feet. That's how great the one that we're waiting for is going to be. And not only that, but he is going to bring a baptism that is far greater than what you're experiencing here today with me. Because he's going to bring a baptism that gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the throngs of people are coming out. John is preaching and he is teaching. And what happens is that Mark drops just one little transition phrase in his gospel. He says, at that time. And the reason why this is important is we have to understand what's happening. So let me reiterate it. The people are coming out to do what? To confess their sins and to receive a baptism of repentance. Amidst this crowd and throng of people confessing their sins and receiving this baptism of repentance, Jesus shows up. And Jesus walks down to the banks of the Jordan to receive a baptism, a sinner's baptism. In the midst of all those that had come together to confess their sins and receive this baptism, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, shows up to receive this sinner's baptism. Two things that don't seem quite to fit. It's kind of like, well, hot dogs and ranch or strawberries and mustard. You just kind of go, whoa. Why in the world would this sinless Son of God, the Savior and Messiah, come to receive a baptism of repentance when he has nothing to repent of? You know, John the Baptist actually thought like this too. What is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew is that when Jesus showed up to be baptized, John tried to actually deter him, tried to stop him, saying, no, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus, not the other way around. And yet Jesus persists, and he goes down into the waters. Why in the world would he do it? Is it that maybe Jesus is setting an example for us, showing us what it means to answer the call of God and to follow? I think, sure, absolutely. But if you put that into the context of Scripture where it's happening, there's no need for an example. The crowds have come. They're confessing. They're repenting. They're being baptized. Jesus shows up. He's just joining the crowd. He's not setting an example. They don't need one. They're already doing it. So why in the world would the sinless Son of God go down into the waters to receive a sinner's baptism? Did he come with things to repent of? Well, no. Makes no sense, because we know that Jesus had no sin. And yet still he goes. Well, what happens is he goes down into those waters. And as he comes up, this is what he sees. It's actually something pretty spectacular. As he comes up out of the water, he sees heaven torn open, ripped apart, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him. And he hears the voice of God, his Father, say, this is my Son whom I love and who I am well pleased. Now that doesn't seem to fit. Why in the world would God the Father be pleased that his Son who has no sin would take on a sinner's baptism? It's two things that don't seem to fit well together. So what's going on? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to trade places with somebody? Have you ever seen somebody else's life and gone, oh man, that's the life I want to live? Just give me 2, 3, 4 days, maybe a couple weeks like that. That'd be just awesome, right? Maybe you looked at somebody and in that kind of jealous and envy, kind of go, man, I would love to live that life. It would be wonderful. Now, we all know you can't do that. But let me turn it around. Have you ever wanted to trade places with somebody who didn't have it great, didn't have it good, didn't have it easy, but instead actually had it just the opposite, really hard? You ever wanted to trade places with somebody who's really suffering and hurting? It sounds weird, doesn't it? Like two things that don't fit together. You know, as parents, we raise our kids and we expect to know that naturally they're going to go through things in life that are going to push them, that are going to challenge them. They're going to force them into places that are going to be hard, places where they're going to struggle. We're going to see them hurt. I can remember the first time my oldest son broke up with a girlfriend. And he came home and you're like, whoa, dude, what happened to you? And you just feel that hurt, don't you? And as a parent, you want to take that hurt away, but you know that's just part of life. Those are ordinary things. But what happens when your child is diagnosed with a sickness, a disease that creates so much suffering, so much pain? Back in Houston, there was a family whose son was 3.5, 4 years old when he was diagnosed with cancer. And for 2.5 years, he battled with all that he had. And I know that those parents many times wished they could just trade places, take all of his pain, all of his sickness, all of his disease, and just take it from him, take it on themselves and give to him their life so he would have a full life to live ahead. But we know that's not reality for us. You and I, we can't take each other's places. But this leads us to the reason why Jesus went down to the Jordan that day to be baptized. You see, you and I can't trade places, but Jesus can. And he does trade places with us. You see, as Jesus stepped into the waters of that river, he was stepping into the place of sinners. By going under the waters of John's baptism, this baptism of repentance, he was intentionally identifying with sinners. He was connecting himself with us. He was identifying with us in every way so that when the time came for the cross, it was him who could walk up to the hill of Calvary, and it was him who would be nailed to that cross rather than you having to carry the cross up that hill and experience the agony and death of crucifixion. You see, his baptism that day on the banks of the Jordan really are a first step in doing something truly miraculous and amazing. It's his first step in giving his righteousness to you and taking your sin upon himself. The one who knew no sin walked into the waters of baptism that day, was baptized by John so that he could become sin for us. This moment is what Mark, in his very first sentence of the gospel, calls the beginning of the good news. The good news that Jesus has taken all of your sins upon himself, that those sins are forgiven and that you are washed clean of them, free of guilt, free of shame, free of condemnation of any kind. This is the first step, the beginning of the good news, that Jesus has taken your place and taken your sins and your condemnation. And this is exactly why God the Father says, I am well pleased. Because Jesus has gone into those waters for you. So what two things go together? Salt and pepper, bread and butter, Jesus and sinners. Jesus came to be baptized, to be connected with you. And as amazing as that is, that's not all that Jesus has done. Yes, he came and he stepped into what should have been our baptism of repentance. And what he did then is he gave us that more powerful baptism than what John was doing. A baptism that would bring the Holy Spirit. A baptism that would not only give the gift of the Holy Spirit, but would bring forgiveness and salvation and a new life in it. This baptism that Jesus brings, that he commands his church to go out and do, connects us to Christ's death and his resurrection, that we would die with him in our baptism so that we would rise with him in our baptisms. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul teaches in the book of Romans in chapter 6. It's this great baptismal chapter. Listen to verse 3. He says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Let me ask you, what two things in your life seem to go together that you would rather them not? Let me ask a question a little more pointed. What sins, sinful thoughts, words, actions seem to be attached to you, seem to follow you, that you want to leave behind? What sins do you need forgiven so that you can take a step into the new life that Christ has given you? See, Jesus took on a sinner's baptism, identifying with you, and he has given you a baptism that brings that forgiveness, that takes us under the water and has us emerge filled with the Holy Spirit, forgiven and alive in him. A baptism that brings that new life and salvation. Paul goes on in Romans 6 to say this. He says, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." He says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself as an instrument of righteousness." You see, God has given us forgiveness and new life so that we can leave behind the old and step into the new. God has given you a new life, and he says, "Count your old self dead, done with, crucified with Jesus 2,000 plus years ago and laid in the grave." And he says to you today, with the forgiveness of sins, you can live a new life, a life that is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit as an instrument of his righteousness born out in your life. For we have been baptized into Christ. And guys, I want to say this, that baptism, though simple and plain as it may seem, a little bit of water and a few words, is one of the most profound gifts that God gives us. Not only does it bring life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins, but it gives us confidence and assurance of the promises of God. That every day when we wake up anew in that baptismal life, counting the old dead and pressing forward into the new life that God has given to us. I still remember when I was baptized, November 8th, 1998. It was a memorable day because as a teenager, I had to go through a 10-week class at this church just to be baptized, and they said, if you miss one, you got to start all over. So I was really proud that I actually made it all the way through. And I showed up that day, and as you know, if you've been around here for a while, I don't wear ties for hardly anything. But I knew it was a special day because God was going to do something big. So I wore my tie, and And I looked goofy because it was like this long because I really didn't know how to wear a tie. Melissa was my sponsor that day, and my parents came. My parents had never attended church with me in my life. And I had other family members there. And I was baptized with two infants. I was the one adult. I remember that day like it was yesterday because it was the day that God changed my life. I want to say to you, if you've never been baptized, or maybe your kids have never been baptized, perhaps today is the day where God is moving you to take that next step in your discipleship. Baptism brings life, salvation, forgiveness, and most of all, it gives us confidence and assurance. We hear the words, we feel the water. And we know that God's promises will be there for us always. If you're at that point where you're wondering, what is baptism, or you'd like to learn more, or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I would love to get baptized, we want to invite you to join us as pastors to walk through what is baptism on a little deeper level, and what does it mean to be baptized here at St. Peter's. And if you would like to join us and just learn a little bit more about it, maybe take that next step, we invite you just to text that word baptism to the number 812-775-2300. Feel free to grab your phone and just text just that word baptism to that number. Let us know that you'd like to join us in that exploration that could lead toward a total life transformation for you through the waters of baptism. We're going to leave this screen up for a little while, so if you want, you can text. As we close out, I want to go back one last time to our word game. So what things go together? We said salt and pepper, bread and butter, wine and cheese, and Jesus.